Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Oh, that was poor. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Nice. It's nice to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me to your family service. Just to give you an insight into what people who get invited to services, how they react when you're invited. The first thing you think is, what am I going to speak about? So those of you who've heard me in the past, you're probably expecting chimpanzees and elephants, giraffes, parrots, stuff like that. Well, this morning I thought we'd do an object lesson. An object lesson. Right. What that is, simply, is I produce an object and then teach you some lessons that come from the object. So the object is somewhere in this room and was mentioned in the Bible reading. So that's two clues. So you see if you can guess what the object is. Right. Okay. Big clue. Without this object, people would have starved in the past. Right. Anybody? No. Oh, go on. Brave lad. Food, true, yes, but to get the food, you need this object. Oh, I'm giving you a bit more clue. No. This is for the children. Right. Let's limit the age range here. Okay, next clue. Without this object, wars would have been lost. Battles would have been lost. Bigger clue. Anybody want to give us a go? All right, next one. When I was a little boy, many, many moons ago, there was a very favourite TV programme, and there was somebody on this TV programme who had one of these. So I got one for Christmas. It was only a little one, but, you know, and I used to run around playing this character off the TV. So if I give I'm going to throw this open to the older group, because only you will remember this tune.
It's not Richard Greene, is it?
Shh. Well, do you know the tune, Steve?
Robin Hood, riding through the country.
See, he can sing. See? Right. It's true, you can sing. Right. Yes. So, Robin Hood, winning battles, getting your food. What do you need for that?
A bow.
And it was mentioned in the Bible reading, he breaks the bow. So I'm going to talk to you today about the bow. And I'm going to give you four lessons from the bow. Four words, see if you can remember them. First one, made. Second one, if I can remember it, made. Missed. Broken. Shaped. Made, missed, broken, shaped, all from the bow. So let's start off with the first word, made. 2 years ago, I retired. Yay! And all my colleagues decided it was time to get me presents, which was really lovely. I got a watch, I got pens, I got gardening tokens. But the people who knew me the best knew there was one gift that I was desperate for, which is really weird. You would have to know me really well to understand this. You see, I used to be a teacher. I used to teach history. And when I taught history, I used to try and make it live. So if I taught about the First World War, I would walk in with a Lee Enfield, grenades, the full kit, just to make it live. And if you're teaching about the Hundred Years' War or the War of the Roses, you need a longbow. Does anyone know what a longbow is? Well, it's just a very long bow, basically. Because longbows were used in those wars. And I was desperate for a longbow. And the colleagues who really knew me came to me and said, we've got you a present we know you're going to like. I thought, oh, they bought me a longbow. So they came in and they said, here it is. And it was a piece of paper. And on the paper it said, you have access to a 3-day course in a wood north of York to make an English longbow. Well, that's second best, isn't it? You know what I mean? So I go to the wood, and I'm really excited. I'm going to make an English longbow. I'm a bit nervous. So I've got it here. Right. I can get it out. Here we go. There it is. Here's my English longbow. That's what I was given. The first thing they do is they give you a log, and this is an ash log, and you get an axe and you split it into four parts and you take the bit you like the most. This is a bit too short for me. It has to be a bit taller because you build them to your height. And what you do is you get a piece of charcoal and you mark out on it the shape of a bow, which is wide in the middle and narrow at the ends, right? Then you get your axe and you keep working on it till you get it right down to a stick. Looks like a long stick. It takes a while, this. It takes 3 days. Well, actually, it took me 4 days because I had to go back. Anyway, once you've got it down to a nice stick, what you do next is you've got to make it into a D shape. So if you cut a cross section through it, it looks like a D. So you put it on a bench and you just work it with blades and little kind of spokeshave, it's called, and so forth. And you eventually get something that looks like a very straight piece of wood. But of course, what does a bow need to give it its power? It needs to be... Go on, you need to bend it. Thanks, Tom. You need to bend it. So what you do is you then put it on a tree. I haven't got a tree here, but anyway. You put it on a tree, you put a rope at either end, and you pull it down a pulley so it bends. And that takes the longest part of the whole operation. That takes a day and a half. Because every time you pull it, you bend it and you give it its power. But you're looking at it all the time, thinking, that right-hand side's not bending as much as that left-hand side. And it's not bending there, but it's bending there. And you take it off, you go back to your bench, and you work on it very, very fine parts at a time. And eventually, you end up with the bow. Then you have to make a string. Yes, girls, I can plait. They taught me how to plait. Never been able to plait in my life. But I learned how to plait a string. And then you put that at one end and down the other end. And then they teach you how to make an arrow. And you have to fletch it. And of course, all the names in the English language that we've got come from making bows. And this is it. This is the bow that I made. Doesn't look like much, does it? It's just really a big stick. Right, I have to flex it now. And that's it. So you pull this thing, you put the arrow on it, like so. You're all getting a bit worried now, aren't you? Yes. Do you know what the range on this is? Do you know how far this can put an arrow? Anyone like to take a guess? Depends on how strong you are. But if you're really strong, you could put an arrow 300 yards with one of these. But I could probably only put over just over 100, 120 yards, something like that. And you pull it. I better not, because you're insured. And you fire the arrow. Now, that's what this is for. It's in order to hunt. It's in order to fight battles. And that's why they made English longbows. And they are unique. No other country in the world made longbows like this with the kind of power that this kind of bow has. See, the first thing I want to talk to you about is made. Okay? This is made. It didn't make itself. And it's made for a purpose. If someone was to come to me and say, Ian, your longbow's not really that good, is it? I mean, look at it. It's not that wonderful, you know. It's a bit rubbish, really. It's kind of not 100%, you know. I'd say to them, you could give me a professionally made bow and I wouldn't take it because this is my bow. I made this. I put a bit of me into this bow. This bow is made for my height and my strength and I made it. And that's the thing about you and me. It's just a piece of wood, but it took somebody with a certain amount of intelligence and skill to put it together, to make it. But you and me, we're not a piece of wood. We're walking, talking, thinking, moving, acting, deciding, amazing creature that can go places and do things and be someone and form relationships. We're unbelievable compared to this stick. Who made you? God made you, and God's amazingly better than you and me. That's how he was able to make us. He's eternal. He's all-knowing, he's all-seeing, he's all-understanding. His wisdom, his power, his might is beyond our imagination. That's how he made you. But this is made for a purpose. It has a job to do. People couldn't eat, people couldn't win without one of these. And you and me, God made us with a purpose. He made us to know him, to love him, to enjoy him, to keep his laws and be happy in doing that. And that's really the key to secrets, the secret to happiness in life is to know God and to enjoy him, to keep his laws, to please him and to know that you please him, because he will love you and keep you. So this is a bow made with a purpose. And when God made you and me, he put a little bit of himself into you and into me. Like I put a little bit of myself into this. He put his spirit, he put his eternal nature into you. He breathed life into man. And that's why we live forever. That's why there's a heaven. That's why the bit of us that goes on forever is from God. It's an eternal soul. So the first thing we learn from this bow is we were made, and we were made for a purpose. Okay. Second word. Who can remember the second word?
Mist.
Mist. Right. What month are we in? October. October. Right. October. This is a clue for all you. This is a question for all you historians out there. October 1415. What happened? Oh, it was the 600th anniversary last year. And it was the 601st anniversary last week, October the 24th.
Poitiers.
Poitiers was earlier, sorry, close.
John, who's
died? Agincourt.
Agincourt, correct. There was a battle in France called Agincourt. Just picture this. 12,000 English soldiers, tired, hungry, miserable, walking for days through France, nothing to eat, sickness through the camp. They're exhausted, they're demoralized, and suddenly they look up, and at the end of this field, there's 60,000 Frenchmen, all nicely fed, all armed to the teeth, and all desperate to get them. What do they do? Well, they send their archers in and they line up, 10,000 of them, and they look at the enemy 300 yards away. Now, can they hit them at 300 yards with this? Can they? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, they can. But it's very, very difficult, because if you try and hit something 300 yards away with one of these, you're not gonna. In fact, it's very, very hard to hit a target with a bow and arrow, because when the arrow comes out, it wobbles in the air. It's quite accurate, but you'd have to be really good to hit something. Basically, they knew when they saw the enemy at the far end of the field, they couldn't hit them. However, there were 10,000 of them. So if you fire enough arrows, you're going to hit something, especially as you can get three in the air at any one time. So there's 30,000 arrows heading towards the enemy from one of these things, well, 10,000 of them. And that's how they were able to defeat their enemy at a distance. But you cannot normally hit a target. Now, I was going to suggest to one of the children they might want to come out and have a go with this. But I don't know whether you want me to risk that. I shall let you into a secret. I once fired this in the back garden of my house in Yorkshire. Yeah. My wife wasn't very approving, I must tell you. and I missed the target, and it went straight through the garage door. I found a little hole in the garage door. Oh, that's where it's gone. It's really hard to hit anything with one of these. That's why you have to fire so many. Missed. See, the problem with us being made in God's image, to know him and to love him, is that we sin, we've fallen. It's just something we've inherited from our forefathers. And we know, well, you know, if I keep God's laws, I'll be happy. God will be happy. But even though we try our best, we just can't. We can't love perfectly. We can't give perfectly. It's not so much what we do. It's what we don't do. We just can't do it. And the Bible puts it like this in Romans chapter 2, verse 20. It says, all have sinned and fallen short of God's targets. We miss the mark. That's how the Bible puts it. We miss the mark. You know, years ago in this country, on a Sunday morning, if you're between the ages of 12 and 50, the king expected you to be out practicing with one of these. And you went to church afterwards. And you know what was banned on a Sunday? Football. No Sunday footy. No football. Because it took men away from practicing with the longbow. And they used to have courses, you know, in all the major cities, where you'd stand at a marker, and in the distance, 100 yards away, 200 yards away, you'd see a target, and you had to fire at it. Then you'd go to it, and then you'd see another target. It was like a golf course in a city, but you had to fire bows at targets in the distance. Of course, people were living there. So as you went to pull, you'd shout, fast, which meant get out the way, fast. And children would run out the way. And then you'd let go, loose, is what they used to say when they let go of the arrow. Fast and loose, that's where you get the saying to play, fast and loose. And people couldn't hit the targets. We can't hit the targets. We play fast and loose with God. We can't hit the targets. We sin, and that's the problem. That's what this bow teaches us. So the first word was made. The second word was missed. What's the third word? Who can remember it? Anybody? Yeah. Nope. Nobody? Broken. Broken. Right. What was the verse in the Bible about the bow? Can anyone remember that? He breaks the bow. That's right. You see, in the Bible, the bow is a symbol of power and strength. Okay? I mean, the power in this is about 80 pounds. If you can lift 80 pounds off the floor with two fingers, just like that, then you can use this bow. I can't use it. It's too strong. But men in those days, because they practiced all their lives, they could use one of these. What's going to break the power of this bow? It takes an enormous amount of strength. If you realized God made you, if you realize that you've missed his targets in life, then basically the only way to get back into friendship with God is to allow him to break you. What that means is to say, I can't do this myself. I haven't got the power. I haven't got the strength in my life. Had to be my grandson, didn't it? See you later, mate. Right. I can't do it myself. I haven't got the power. God needs to break us. And we need to say, I can't do this. You can alone can do this. You alone can make me right. Only through your Son, the Lord Jesus, who lived as I should live, who died as I deserve, in my place. That's what it means in the Bible. It says he breaks the bow. He breaks the power of men. He breaks our ability to say, yeah, I'm going to be okay with God. You're not. We need to repent. We need to say, I can't do this. I need to go another way, God's way. I need to trust in what he's done in my place. And that's why the Lord Jesus came into the world to die in our place. So we can trust him to be our saviour. So what was the final word? Anyone remember the final word? Shaped. Right, now, the longest part of making this was putting it on a tree and gradually pulling and pulling and stretching and making it what it should be. Until that point, it was just a stick. But to give it its bend and to give it its power and to give it its purpose needed a lot of things doing to it that were a bit stressful, shall we say. As I was pulling, I was thinking, I hope this thing doesn't snap, because that's 2.5 days work gone. And some people's did snap. You know, the Christian life, when God breaks you and makes you his, the Christian life is like that. It's not a life of just all plain sailing. There's joys, yeah. There's great times, yeah. There's good things. There's family love. There's all those wonderful things. There's marriage. There's children. There's joys. Wonderful things. But into all lives come difficulties, loss, failure, disappointment, broken relationships. But you know, the way Christians look at it is, that's God shaping me. Shaping me for his purpose. Making me what he wants me to be in this Christian life. It's not all a wonderful thing where everything goes right all the time. Things do go wrong. And I'm going to kind of change the picture, the object lesson, a little bit. I think it's in Malachi 3, verse 3. There's a reference there to a silversmith who's refining the silver. And it says, God sits like the silversmith refining the silver. When you make one of these, you refine it. You're constantly chipping bits off, stressing it, putting it through stuff it doesn't want to go through. And when you make silver, you put it under heat and pressure and you make life hard for that metal until eventually all the impurities come out. And somebody told me recently that when the refiner is making the silver, even today, they sit, just like it says in the Bible, God sits. The refiner sits and he looks into the pot and he sees the silver bubbling up and he sees all the impurities coming off. And someone said, how do you know when it's ready? How do you know when it's finished? And the answer is, the refiner can see his face in the silver. And in a way, that's true, isn't it, about the Christian life? How do we know God is working in our lives? It's because we can see his reflection in our lives. We can see a little bit of him in our lives. A little bit of his laws and loving him and serving him and putting him first in our lives. So the bow goes through a lot of stress and pressure to make it powerful so it can do what it's made to do. So in your life, if you become a Christian, if you are a Christian, there's a great message for you there. Don't look at those stresses and difficulties and things being chipped off in the wrong places and think, oh no. Realize it's God working on you and me in our lives. So, four words. God made me, God made you. We miss the targets every day. We don't keep his laws, we should. Broken. Yeah, that's a tough word, isn't it? Broken. But that's what God's got to do. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. These he will not despise. That's what the Bible tells us. He needs to break us, because otherwise we think we're good enough, and we're not, to please him. To love him, to know him, to be with him. That's why he sent Jesus, who did all those things in our place on the cross and shaped. As we live our lives, God shapes us as Christians. And so when the good times come, rejoice. And when the difficulties come, know that he is shaping you. I hope there's something in those four words for somebody present, from the youngest child to the oldest adult. Because that's what the Bible tells us. That's Scripture's truth. And that's the object lesson of this bow here today. He breaks the bow. He breaks the bow.